Hello, everyone. Welcome to Just Getting By, episode 37, for Monday, the 31st of October, 2011. My name is Craig Jones, and I'm joined, as always, by Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
Howdy, Craig.
How are you doing this spooky and creepy Halloween?
Exhausted, like always.
Yeah, I'm going to be really pretentious and call what we were just talking about the pre-show. How do you like that? Doesn't that make us sound important that we have a pre-show? Do you like that? In the pre-show, you were telling me that you've had a tough time at work and you sound a little grumpy. Let's try to keep the spirits up. You don't want to scare away any of the people listening.
Bah, humbug.
Wrong holiday.
Close enough.
You know, it is. It's funny how...
Because they're already playing the music, so who cares?
I know. Yeah, it's funny what happens. It's just, the time flies when you get into this period of the year. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, before we get started, I wanted to just take a moment to address a change to the program. Chemslave will no longer be a host. He's going bye-bye.
Jay.
Now... I'm joking. No, he's, it sounds like, he would like to go, but he, unfortunately for himself, he's stuck. But, we are changing the format of the show somewhat. Because of the fact that we record just once a week, but we record three shows, by the time the second and third shows come out, we're pretty close to being a week behind the news, so... We thought that it would be a good idea to make each show topical, make them a little less centric to one specific story, and just have like a relaxing, broad conversation about the week's news about some topic. Mondays, today, will be politics. Anything to do with politics, the election, President Obama, or his Republican challengers. All that's fair game for Monday. Wednesday will be more common interest, maybe a little bit more lighthearted. Not always lighthearted, because we have civil liberties stories as well. That's going to be a big thing for Wednesday. And Friday is my personal favorite. We've kind of already been doing this for Friday, but we have technology be the sole focus on Friday's show.
And yeah, Friday's show is normally pretty relaxing.
What's that?
It's normally pretty relaxing on Fridays.
Yeah. Normally because I'm so exhausted from the previous week that I try to hurry it up and get out of there as soon as possible. I'm sure you're the same way, actually. So, yeah, and we're going to try to make the relaxing atmosphere of Friday and transplant it into Wednesday and Monday. So... let's see what happens. Now, as a consequence of being more topical, we've decided to go with a revamped and expanded show notes to specifically talk about various aspects of stories that we might not get to on the show. And there might be some links to stories that we don't even touch on at all in the show. So that's there as a guide for the listener to know what we've been looking at that helps form our views of the news of the week. So that being said, let's just jump into it. This is Politics Monday, so we are going to be discussing political issues surrounding America. So, Chemslave, I noticed that you added to the show notes a couple of clips from Mitt Romney and Herman Cain, the two front runners in the Republican nomination for president. You want to talk about that for a little bit?
It's in keeping with the lightheartedness of the whole spirit. They're pretty funny clips about from a site called Bad Lip Syncing or Bad Lip Reading, and they sort of cancel out the note, like whatever Mitt Romney or Herman Cain is saying, and they sort of add in something else. And they're really freaking funny.
You know, I haven't even looked at those. And you have little quotes from these stories in the show notes. By the way, our show notes are at justgettingbypodcast.com. And I thought they actually said this, and I was like, what the hell? What in what context would any of this be, you know, would make any sense? Like, you have Mitt Romney as saying, quote, "I was happy, and then your sister threw a sea fish at my TV." And Herman Cain, by the way, I could see Herman Cain saying this for some reason. I don't know why necessarily, but I can definitely see him, if he had the opportunity, say something like, "Mexican people don't eat sugar, especially when it's a mixture of lice and tiger DNA." So I encourage everybody to go and watch those videos. They're both hosted on YouTube. And we have the links to them in our show notes. And I'll tell you what, when we're done recording, that's one of the first things I'm doing. I'm going to take a look at that. That sounds like that's going to be funny.
Yeah, I lost control over myself. I was laughing so hard after listening to the Herman Cain one.
Yeah, it's just so easy to make fun of these people. Herman Cain especially. He's tried to have the persona of like this really jovial, down-to-earth, kind of, sometimes quirky person. And because of that, because of the idea that it's almost possible for him to say something off the wall like this, you know, that's what really makes it funny. And Mitt Romney is just so uptight and so almost prissy that, a quote from him saying about your sister threw a sea fish at my TV, that's just inherently funny. So that is funny. Now, you know who wouldn't laugh at this, though, is MSNBC. You know, I don't understand what these people are thinking. You know, Chemslave, MSNBC is well known as a liberal outpost in cable news. Now, Fox News is conservative. CNN tends to be a little bit liberal, but I'm not offended by their coverage of things. They used to be more liberal than they are today. But MSNBC takes partisanship to a whole new level. And there is there was a segment on MSNBC in the past week discussing Herman Cain and his relationship to fellow Republicans in the Republican Party. And these by the way, everybody, as some of you might be listening from outside of the United States and might not know much about Herman Cain, he's African-American.
Well, that's not much different from me.
Well, you know, you know, I have been critical of Herman Cain in the past for that very reason. He came from nowhere. And I've even kind of gone into conspiracy territory and thought he was a plot to try to get the nomination away from, what's-his-face, Romney. But in this situation, though, I'm going to defend him. Because MSNBC... one of the people on there, I'm not going to get too much into who said what, but one of the people on MSNBC said that Republicans just think of Herman Cain as a black man, and it's like they are just so interested in him because he's black, and you can have a black, like a black on black fight, and the way that this was posited made it so clear that this guy was playing the race card to the nth degree, and it was amazing. I don't understand. These people claim these liberal, you know, talking heads, the liberal intelligentsia, they claim that liberalism and the Democrat Party are for racial equality and like post-racial politics. President Obama was supposed to be the first post-racial president. And then you have liberals come out and they use the color of this man's skin as an attack point against the whole Republican Party, he's only in the position excuse me, he's only in the position that he is in because he's black. when you could have said the same thing by President Obama in 2008. I mean, this is just astounding to me. Well, what do you think about that? I'm speechless.
It actually sounds pretty racist on that count. they're doing the one thing they're accusing the other side of doing, because they're just like, oh yeah, he's just a black man.
Absolutely.
I don't know who the hell he is, but I don't think he's just a black man.
Absolutely. You know, I say these people, that's kind of derogative, but liberals have always been so quick to say, he's a racist, she's a racist. Those white people, you know, those angry white people in the Tea Party, they're racist. But they've always been so quick to throw the race card out themselves. And, you know, I guarantee you it's going to happen again. And in increasing frequency with the 2012 election. I believe Obama and his team are going to be bringing out the race card as much as possible as a defense for Obama. So,
yeah,
you
vote for him, he's the black guy.
Exactly. That would be the one kink in this in the chain. That would be the one thing that's wrong if Herman Cain does become the Republican nominee, because they can't as effectively use the racist, mantra, that whole line of attack. It's not really that possible anymore. It's just you've negated it a little bit. Now, Republicans have tried this in the past. We had this buffoon. His name is Michael Steele. He used to be an attorney general in Maryland. He ran for the governorship of Maryland, lost. But he became the Republican National Committee's chairman, which, especially when a Republican does not hold the White House, he's really like the top Republican in the country in terms of fundraising and strategy. And he was a disaster. Michael Steele's black, by the way. He was a disaster. I mean, gaffe after gaffe after gaffe, ineffective leadership. I mean, it's a miracle that we did as well as we did in 2010. By we, I mean Republicans. It's a miracle that we did that well, because we had almost no leadership from the Republican National Committee. So that was a disaster. And I would caution my Republican friends to not make that same mistake with Herman Cain. But I don't think in Steele's case, I think race did play a part in his being nominated to the chairmanship. That was just a few months after Obama was elected that that Michael Steele was elected chairman of the RNC. But Herman Cain is different. He has a message. It's an overly simplistic message, but he's got a message, and he's got his own base. And I see that base crumbling and imploding over the next few months, but I don't think he's being propped up because of his race. I think he's being propped up because there is this deep want to have somebody new, have a new fresh face in politics, and not the same old people, which is what we get with both Obama and Romney. Anyway, did you see Nancy Pelosi? I mean, she is such an idiot. I mean, I'm sorry. I want to be respectful, Chemslave, but she can say the stupidest things. She came out this week and defended waivers for Obamacare. Companies can apply to the federal government to be exempt from some of the regulatory things from Obamacare. And quite a few of them have done it. It turns out tens of thousands of businesses have done that. And Nancy Pelosi defended that as being, well, they're all small businesses, just getting used to the idea. We need to give them a few years to, you know, build that into their accounting. But then, you know, the company that is benefiting most from these waivers is McDonald's.
What?
Yeah. The government.
Huge amounts of money, people.
That's right. McDonald's, by the way, has been doing fantastic the past couple of years. They haven't. They're like the Apple of the food services industry. the restaurant industry. I mean, they just keep turning up profit after profit after profit. They're on a hiring spree like you wouldn't believe. They're doing pretty good. And yet they...
McGriddle.
But they just, you know, they wanted a waiver from Obamacare, and the federal government gave it to them. I mean, what do you think about that? What do you think about Nancy Pelosi saying then that all these people are small businesses when the number one beneficiary of these waivers is McDonald's? What do you think about that?
This is this whole, like, I don't know, they're having this, like, doublespeak where they're trying to hide what they're actually, what actually is happening by, oh, yeah, they're small. It's like this like, or like, what's her name? Clinton saying, oh, yeah, what was it that she said? Oh, that she won't comment on her, like, saying the whole, we came, we saw, he died. It's like they're just trying to cover up the truth by just saying something so stupid or just so inane that, oh, you'll just think, oh, they're just small companies and not think about it again.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. They think these people, they think that the media will not follow up. They will not ask them follow-up questions. And when the media does ask them, they get all hot and bothered, and they claim that they're being, you know, interrogated or cross-examined. And it's just, it's there's a pathetic aspect to that. There really is. So, Chemslave, how was the snow situation for you? Were you up to your eyeballs in snow?
I was all the way up to, I think, like, the top of my shoes. It's not, it wasn't that as bad as everyone claimed it's going to be. Of course, that's just my little area of Pennsylvania, so I don't know where, like, if there's more snow somewhere else.
Yeah, for those of you that don't live in the region, this past week, over the weekend, actually, on Saturday, we had a relatively sizable snowstorm come into the region, especially for the time of year. It set records in various places. New York City got 3 inches of snow. That doesn't sound like much, and it really is not much. But that set a record for them at that time of the year. The 29th of October does not usually see 3 inches of snow on the ground. That is not something to scoff at. But at the same time, Chemslave, you're absolutely right. News outlets all over were just relishing the opportunity to try and create yet another crisis. Because crises help to... sell advertising is basically what it comes down to. And, yeah, we didn't have a bad go of it down here. We had about 3 inches of snow. You probably had about 3 inches of snow. And that basically wouldn't take you much beyond the sole of a well-soled boot. I mean, that's... I mean, it's a sizable amount of snowfall, but it's not terrible. Now, some areas of New England did get, you know... in the teens, snowfall. Some areas of Connecticut got 21 inches. It was a significant storm for this time of year. So it was noteworthy. And as a matter of fact, several million people lost power. And there's really no guarantee that they will have it back by even this week, by early this week. So it was disruptive.
My one uncle from Poland actually called us today asking us if we have power and everything else because he heard in the news that we got like a shit ton of snow.
Now that's overkill. Yesterday. That's overkill. The fact that your uncle in Poland, right? He is in Poland.
Yes.
Yeah. The fact that he heard about that in Poland tells me that this story was blown out of proportion because it wasn't but it wasn't the worst that we were going to be seeing by far.
So we supposedly received like half a meter or something like that of snow or something.
Well,
like
I don't deal in that kind of metric. But most of the areas in the region that we're in, central Pennsylvania, got about 3 to 5 inches of snow. Some areas of the mountain range that we have, the Poconos, got a lot more than that. Although that's a ski area, so that's a good thing. The ski season is going to start early.
So supposedly we got 1.5 feet of snow, more or less, 1.64.
Well, you didn't.
According to him.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Pennsylvania got like 1.64 feet.
In the Poconos, maybe. But not where most of us live. The Poconos are not inhabited as heavily as central Pennsylvania is. But yeah, that's just one more example of, you know, the chattering media, you know, drumming things up. You know what else the media is drumming up? These scandals in the Obama administration. I mean, you would think that Obama is like Judas or something, that they're going after him for every little thing, right? I mean, they keep attacking him for every little scandal, just bringing it up and up and up. I mean, President Bush looked like he got away scot-free next to Obama, right?
Yep.
No, not really, actually. Do you know who Jonathan Alter is?
No, should I?
You are better off not knowing who this man is. He is a syndicated columnist and a well-known contributor to MSNBC. The MSNBC angle is not important right now, because Jonathan Alter had a column out, and it was the subject of that column was the miracle of the Obama presidency. Now, Chemslave, guess what that miracle is?
No scandals?
That's right. Yes, no scandals. Evidently, in this man's poor, warped mind, he thinks that the Obama administration has been free of scandals. Now, Chemslave, I could sit here for the next 2 hours and talk about the scandalous activities of the Obama administration. I mean, just terrible stuff. But we're fortunate, because we don't have to do that. Because we have two stories from the same week that really just destroy this guy's argument. The first one is, you know who Eric Holder is, right?
Isn't he the dude with the whole the Fast and Furious?
That's right. He's the Attorney General of the United States. He's the highest ranking law enforcement officer in the land. And, the ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Agency within the Justice Department, falls under his purview. And ATF is the organization that is responsible for Fast and Furious. For those of you that need a little reminder, Fast and Furious was a program so that the United States could smuggle weapons into Mexico, provide them to the drug cartels, and then arrest them for, arms trafficking. So we would be supplying them with weapons that they would be trying to obtain, and we can arrest them under U.S., Mexico, and international law for arms dealing. These Mexican cartels did a funny thing with the guns. They actually fired them. And, I know, Chemslave. It's shocking, isn't it? They actually fired their guns. The sad thing...
That was only done in movies.
Yeah, I did too. I guess people really do fire guns in the world. Unfortunately, when they fired those guns, two American citizens, Border Patrol agents, died because of the weapons that the United States illegally provided Mexico. And Mexican criminals that the Mexican government has been trying for years and spilling their own blood to try to get rid of. So this is a big issue all around. It's a scandal the size that could really bring down some important people in the Obama White House. Eric Holder, if he is shown to be culpable, if he is shown to be knowledgeable about this, could stand to lose his job. And if Obama is too caught up in this, this could destroy his chances for re-election, which are already not too great. This could turn out to be one of the premier scandals of the decade, and it's an extraordinarily serious story, and it's one that Jonathan Alter must think is inconsequential, Whereas, if President Bush had done this, however, Bush would have been impeached on the spot. And there would have been grounds to do it. It would have been an overreaction. It would have been like a Clinton-era impeachment, where technically it's okay, but in the spirit of things, it really isn't. But there would have been grounds for it. And in the Obama administration, it's just, you know, no one pays attention to this. It's amazing. But we also have another scandal, Kemslave. If you had to think of another scandal, not so serious as Fast and Furious, nobody died, I don't think, but if you had to think of another scandal involving the White House, what do you think that would be?
Well, there is that, the Solyndra thing.
Ding, 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 ding. Yep, exactly. That's also heating up. Because, the Energy Department, by the way, why we have an Energy Department when we just so castrate the oil companies and being able to extract resources from the United States is beyond me. I mean, it's almost a cruel joke to have an Energy Department. But the Energy Department is responsible for the doling out of tax breaks and bailout money to energy companies. And one of those companies that the Energy Department gave money to was Solyndra, which turned out to be a company that was not financially viable. It was not making a product that enough people wanted at a price capable of keeping that company afloat. So they had to declare bankruptcy a year, just a year, almost to the day, after President Obama went to their factories and hailed them as a representative company of the future of American ingenuity and the future of American industry. Almost a year after that, they have to file for bankruptcy. And over $500 million, taxpayer dollars, were wasted. That was the amount of money that was loaned to Solyndra. There was even more than that as well, but that $500 million is the one that is the number that's thrown around the most. So the secretary of the Energy Department, Stephen Chu, Chu spelled C-H-U, by the way, he's going to have to testify before Congress as well. Eric Holder is going to be testifying before Congress by Fast and Furious. This is for like the second or third time. He's in trouble. And Secretary Chu is going to be testifying before Congress as well about this Solyndra scandal. So these are two scandals within a week of the publication of Jonathan Alter's piece saying that Obama's presidency is miraculous because of its lack of scandals. Can you imagine the balls on that guy? How whacked out his mind must be. How limited his perception of the world is. For him not to see this. It's just amazing. What do you have to say about it?
I have no idea what to say about it.
This is
going to be one of those interesting things that keep on developing.
Well, you've got that right. This is we're talking about this in the middle of its development, not at the end. This might be even the beginning of the discussion about Fast and Furious. I mean, this story is a big deal. It is a big
unless
deal.
It gets pushed under a rug like many other things do.
They're trying to do it, but the Republicans in the House are not allowing it. Eric Holder has been subpoenaed to testify before the House of Representatives by the Republicans. And the Democrats in there are just up in arms, saying that the Republicans are just playing politics and abusing the power. So, you know, it's the Republicans are going to keep this up, because, quite frankly, it's a great election story. Great election story. All right, so, you know, Libya. We talked about Libya last week, didn't we?
Yeah, that boondoggle.
Oh, God, yeah, that's... I encourage you all to go back to listen to our discussion of Libya last week. I was really proud of that discussion. I liked that a lot. But the UN has officially declared the mandate for violence in Libya to be over. So there are that it's not as straightforward as that. And there's
so there's not going to be any more violence in Libya?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? No, there's going to be a hell of a lot of violence in Libya. Just not instigated by the United States, supposedly. Now, this is a story in and of itself that we could spend a lot of time on, but it's just interesting to note that the official sanctioning of violence in Libya has been rescinded by the United Nations. So, it's...
With the Libya thing, I heard that there was an Al-Qaeda flag flying in Benghazi.
Oh, yeah. Now, Benghazi, by the way, is pretty much the capital of the new Libya, because that's where the Transitional National Council was located when Gaddafi was still holed up in Tripoli. So basically, Benghazi is like the second city of Libya. It's very, very important. And it's also apparently a hotbed for Al-Qaeda terrorists. Now, it's actually not that unusual to see Al-Qaeda flags, and you don't want to read too much into that. That culture just absolutely loves flags, and I'm not being facetious. I mean, they seem to really like flags, both intact flags and flags on fire. So,
those are the more interesting ones normally.
Yeah. But you always want to see which ones they're holding up, though. But don't forget, Gaddafi had his own flag for Libya. There was that pure green one, and then the rebels went back to the old Libyan flag of the monarchy, with the tricolor. It looks very much like Italy's flag. Flag stories have been associated with Libya for the past few months now. So that, I thought that is interesting. I worry about the ideology of the people coming into Libya, though. I am not convinced, as I said last week, I'm not convinced that Gaddafi's ouster was necessarily a good thing for Libya or the world. Oh, well, so, Kemslave, Obama is, just really trying to screw the students, isn't he?
Well, yeah, the new college loan scam.
Oh, yeah, why don't you tell me about that?
Well, supposedly they're doing something about how they're going to help the students, because they need help, because they're having so much like debt and stuff, so they're going to help them.
Yeah, do you know how much that help equals, Chemslave?
Well, I've read one story that said like if someone is going to be pays monthly payments, going to be around $208, it's going to drop by $9 a month. So $199, which is a staggering amount of money they're going to be saving every month.
Well, it's worse than that, Chemslave. Because once you factor in interest payments and, associated like fees, and once you factor in as well the various bureaucratic methods of taking money out of this proposal, it comes down to, now brace yourself for this because this is astonishing, $2 per student.
Oh my God, wow. I'm happy for the students already.
Yeah, I know. Now, Obama and his administration dispute that. But several people have come up with that number. And quite frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if it's closer to the $2 than it is to the $199. This is purely a stunt to try to win back the college vote. Because in 2008, that's possibly what put him over the edge for the presidency. Kemp, a lot of people don't realize that Obama did not win in a landslide in terms of the popular vote. It was a landslide in terms of the Electoral College. But in the popular vote, I mean, it was a decisive victory, but it was not a landslide. And he had the highest turnout among college-age and, early 20s-aged people in recent history. And it's those people... as well as increased turnout from minority communities that allowed him to overtake John McCain. Unfortunately, he's all but lost the college vote. And he's plummeted. He's like a cement brick being dropped into water. I mean, he is just, bottom of the barrel now in terms of favorability on college campuses. And this is seen by a lot of people this story of the student loan plan is seen as a scam, basically, to try to recapture some support from the college students. So
see, this whole story just seems to not be reported correctly, because my, like, just the other day, like, it was like this morning, my dad was like, or was it last night, my dad was asking me, like, what do I think about this thing, because it might help me. I was like, have you actually listened to anything they're actually saying? This does not affect me at all, because I already graduated.
Yeah, that's one thing, too. There are some people 20 years out are still paying off student loans. I had several teachers in high school, for instance, that cautioned us not to take out a whole lot of loans, try to find some other way to pay for it with grants and you know, shockingly enough, work for it yourself. Because these people were still paying off loans 15, 20 years after they graduated. And it's a shame. Because a college education nowadays is seen as essential to get anywhere in life. But even those graduates, as you can see by the Occupy Wall Street protests, are not necessarily getting the jobs that they want. And they're still being saddled with these loans that they need to pay back. It's a vicious cycle.
Education is an ungodly expensive thing to even think about. Because it's really freaking expensive.
And you know what, ChemSlave? That is just one more facet of the education story that we can do around Christmas time as a special. That's almost...
I'm already starting to doing research on that.
Yeah, good. Because that's like the first one we should do. I'm already excited for that. Well, you know what, ChemSlave? We've had a good discussion this week. And I hope...
I think it's today.
Well, you know what? That's true. It's true. It's just today. This is just Monday. We have two more shows to go. I hope that the audience has appreciated the more free-flowing, more general idea of the show. Tell us if you like it. Email us. Our email address is feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. Again, feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. Tell us if you like what we're doing, if you don't like what we're doing, how we can improve, what we need to change, what we can keep the same. We want to hear your suggestions. We want to know that you're out there and that you actually care about what we're saying. So let us know. And we have a comprehensive and even more expansive list of topics that contributed to today's discussion in our show notes. Our show notes can be found at our website, justgettingbypodcast.com. So just go there and check out the stories, because they, while some of them might be depressing, they're also interesting reads. And everybody, go and watch those YouTube videos that we have linked to. They sound like they're going to be funny.
Yes, so, very funny.
So on that note, ChemSlave, I think we will just leave it there for today. And we will return on Wednesday and talk about other things. Dun dun dun. Have a good day.